The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Oh my goodness.
Israel Adesanya, I'm coming. Whoever the UFC needs me to beat, I'm coming.
Prime time is on the roll. Canada, Uriah Hall.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I both have background. This is a big day in the history of this podcast.
Huge day, Jimmy.
Matt, we both have backgrounds that are UFC approved. Yours is cooler than mine. Yours is just kind of black and it fades into the screen. I like yours better.
Well, you know, I like black, even though I'm wearing a white shirt. I usually wear black because it's thinning. Yeah, it's one of my favorite colors. You know, I'm a little 5'6", Johnny Cash. I like it. Uriah.
Yo.
Uriah, what song is this? I dare, before Jimmy gets on, ready? Hold on, Jimmy. I dare you to do something. I'm waiting on you again.
I know it. I just can't tell you, but I know it. I know it.
When we hang up, Uriah, and I don't usually start our, first of all, hello. Good to see you. I didn't even say hello yet. But listen, I want you, as a cool down song, listen to Post Malone. Circles.
By the way, Uriah, I have a great screen cap of your face while you were listening to Matt. There's a, because the screen froze up, and while you were singing, he was almost in pain. He was almost in physical pain.
He wouldn't do that to me. Uriah loves me very much.
No, I would never.
Thank you, Uriah.
That was really nice out, by the way. I'm in Dallas, Texas right now.
You're in Dallas,
Texas. Right. I forgot you were down in Dallas. How are you liking it there? How are you liking the scenery there from where you were?
Well, I tell you what, it took me a minute. You know, as the East Coast guy, it's a little different out here. Everyone's packing.
Oh, shit.
But it's a good thing because no one really – think of the Wild Wild West, but modern.
Yeah.
But it's cool, though. You know, everyone's really nice. Can't drive, but they're nice.
Oh, shit.
Weren't you living in the – last time we saw you was early on in the pandemic, I think, and it was kind of – everything down there was kind of closed up, and I'm sure life has changed a lot since you've been down there in the 6 months you've been there, right?
Wow. Where do I even start, man? It's been rocky, but, like, the genius thing that I haven't done is I haven't given up because despite the whole pandemic, despite what's going on, and, of course, everyone's going through their own little – story, their own little battle. Some people are like using this as an opportunity to sit down their demons like me. I did that and work on themselves. Some people are distracting themselves. I'm just going with the flow. I mean, unfortunately, there's some events that didn't happen, but you looking back now, it's like, okay, it built me more time to prepare for possibly one of the best fights of my life.
Yeah.
And what do you think about fighting like Anderson Silva? Like, I mean, is he one of the guys you like watched coming up?
He was definitely one of those guys. No. I was telling my buddy the other day that 7 or 8 years ago, I was on my friend's rooftop in Manhattan watching him. I think he was fighting Chael. And I was like, man, I would love to, you know, train with that guy. I was saying train with that guy. I didn't say fight that guy. And of course, as time went on, I was like, all right, you know, it'd be a good opportunity to go up against one of the greats. And plus, you know, they were comparing me to him. So
that's true.
And fast forward, the opportunity came and it didn't happen because 3 days prior, he had to have a gallbladder surgery.
Yeah. Right.
So I was like, all right. And then I just kind of kept going and the universe somehow just kept connecting us. I would see him in some of my videos if I'm fighting. We had a moment where we saw each other. I think it was the night that he lost to Chris Weidman. I don't remember which one of the fights, but I was fighting, who's that redheaded fella?
Ed Herman?
No, no, no.
I don't even know if you thought of Ed Herman.
No, no, no. Anderson Alvey? Silva.
We're naming all the gingers.
not actual redhead, but like he dyed his hair red.
Oh, my bad. Oh, you're thinking about Chris Lieben.
Chris Lieben. Yes. Yeah. Jesus. So yeah, Anderson right. fought Chris Lieben on his first fight in the UFC. I fought Lieben on his last fight.
Oh,
and I think
shit.
I remember fighting Chris Lieben. We saw each other backstage and Anderson kind of, he looked at me and he kind of went like this and he just went like this. And it was like a back and forth gesture. And I knew what it meant, you know, it was more like believing myself. And it was a cool moment. And I just remember that being an awesome moment between us. So the universe always kept aligning us. It's going to happen. I have a ton of respect for the guy. I'm fortunate to be in this position. I'm happy about it. You know, he's my idol that became my rival. It's a great story.
It also sounds like a rap lyric.
Have you had that already where you've had to fight guys? Like if you fight a guy like who you don't know that well, you don't care about, but have you had to fight anybody who you've kind of felt this way about before?
No, I can't think of anybody. I mean, in my younger days in my career, you know, when you're younger, it's more of like, all right, who I got to beat to get to the top, who I got to take out, I'm hungry. As you get a little older, you're like, ah, do I want to fight this guy? Let's sit down and have breakfast or something. You know, it changes the whole percept. And for some guys, it's like, all right, I'm on my way out. Like, you know, Anderson is saying this could be his last fight. I'm sure he's on his way out mentally. He's accomplished so much.
Yeah.
He's done so much for the sport. He inspired so many generations. But no, I haven't been in that situation before.
I mean, obviously he's going to always be dangerous. He's coming off a two-fight skid. Plus three, he beat Derek Brunson, but Jimmy thinks he lost to Derek Brunson.
I think Brunson won that fight. I thought Brunson won that fight.
But yet, he's still the word legend, you can't throw around, but with him, right. Obviously, it's in there. I mean, that's quite a feather in your cap, no matter what age you get him. No matter what time you get this guy.
He's a stud, man. He's freaking Anderson Silva. It's like...
How much do you feel better? How better do you feel fighting a guy like Anderson Silva? And it's not that he doesn't know jiu-jitsu or anything, but your last fight, I'll tell you, I was worried about you. And only because that shoe face, Antonio Carlos Jr., Jimmy, he's quite, and he hangs out with Dean Thomas. The guy is a very good jiu-jitsu practitioner. And I was worried for you. I'm going to be honest. I was worried for Uriah. But you, dude, I'm telling you, you came such a long way. If anybody thinks that you're just going to take you down and smoke you like a doobie, they're fucking nuts. That's not happening. It's not happening. Listen,
I'm not the best grappler in the world. I know my shit. I know
you're
enough.
The worst. You're not the worst either, buddy.
I go up against anybody, but for me, it's more of that acceptance to grow. I don't look at it as like, fuck, let me not... You know, I learn from every situation. I'll bring something up right now that a lot of people don't know. When I fought Chris Weidman years ago, I had a fear for wrestling, but I never had a fear for wrestling going into that fight. I was fine. I didn't care because my mentality was like, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm going to beat you. Yeah. And I carried that for like 4 fights. And I remember this asshole that worked for the organization that I trained in. He kept saying, this guy's a great wrestler. This guy's a great wrestler. I was like, I don't care. Because as a fighter, you know, your mind is very important. So he kept saying it. And then one day, somehow, it got in my mind. I was like, what if I get taken down? And I think that's when the fear started. And I started to be afraid of wrestlers. Like, oh, man, that means I can't fight at my best because they're going to take me down.
Yeah.
And I remember being in that fight saying, shit, I hope I don't get taken down, rather than focus on my attributes, which is my striking. And I remember I got taken down the first time and I popped. I was like, oh, it's not that bad. Yeah. And then, of course, I was in that limbo state of still worrying about the wrestling, and I got clipped, and it happened. And then right after that, I went into training to say, I will never feel like that again. And I must have went, I went to so many wrestling gyms just to make sure I get that fear out of my head. So it's always a growing experience, a learning experience. I can't take anything away from my journey because that's the best part about this.
Especially you've been on the floor in bad positions with guys that you got out and won the fight. Whether it's I like saying shoe face. This is quicker and I like the name.
Gregor, that dude is tough.
Gregor Masasi, I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, that's another guy very worried. I mean, because that guy's he blends it together. He got you down
so
pretty
strong.
Early.
Yeah.
And the way you got out and you were calm, that's the difference. You weren't desperate to get up. You were playing a little of the game down there enough to allow yourself to get back up at the right time. So that's
what it's all about. Yeah. You got
to
be calm.
It had to develop over time, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I just got to a place where I had to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, you know? If I'm comfortable with the uncomfortable, I'm good.
Your mind, you've talked a lot about your head and how it can affect you and fear. Like, you talk about that more than most fighters. I'm sure everybody relates to it. I'm sure everybody has that, but you just, you seem pretty comfortable being open about it, which is nice. You know, it's good to hear coming from a guy that you just kept doing it until you weren't afraid of it anymore, but you had to make yourself not afraid by going to those wrestling gyms.
Oh, absolutely. If there's anything that I've learned from this entire journey, from the experience, from being a martial artist, an athlete, or whatever you want to call it, is fighting reveals who you really are. And everyone in this sport, the best way I can pronounce it is, we're all lions in a field filled with other lions, and we're chasing the gazelle. The gazelle is the belt, and there's a lot of opportunities that come with that belt, whether it's fame, fortune, lots of opportunities, and we're all doing that. Right now, I'm at a stage in my life where, you know what? What have I dedicated myself to, and how do I walk away from this feeling good about me? At some point in my career, I've allowed fear, negativity, and opinion of others to become my reality, and everyone has their own story. I can't look back and say coulda, woulda, shoulda. I have to take from that. And yeah, I feel comfortable talking about it because no one else is doing it. And it's the real part of the sport because no one else sees it. I mean, obviously, if you talk about the whole BS selling fights, yeah, that's more spectacular. If I go out there and I start talking about saving the world, shut the fuck up, bro. No one cares about that. But, you know, we care more about the excitement of the fight. What's going to sell? Take Colby Covington. Do I even have to explain that? You know? So it sells the fight. It's what people want to see. They don't care about my personal life. It's not for them to care about. I don't owe it to them. But at the end of the day, I owe it to myself to be myself. It's all I have.
Hey, I could picture Uriah pulling off a knockout the way Joaquin Buckley did last night. Did you see that fucking thing?
Not only did I see it, but everybody and their mom was tagging me. Everybody was like, yo.
Man.
What's up with this kick, son? And I'm like, yo, good job for the dude. Let him get some fame, you know? I mean, I'm not mad at it. They were like, yo, I think it's better than yours. I'm like, I don't know about that player. I can do that kick too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You very rarely see that. Like, the way he caught the kick was almost a little bit awkward too. Didn't he catch the kick kind of weird? And he was kind of holding it. It seemed like a very difficult way that he actually caught the kick.
Well, when you catch a kick like that, you're supposed to swoop it. You don't hold on to the leg. If you're going to hold on to the leg, and wrestlers know this, they catch the kick like that, they swoop it, and they take you down. He just stood there like a sore thumb, and homeboy was like, oh, perfect, no moving target.
And I really love that about Joaquin, the way he did that, because, listen, he came off of taking a short-notice fight against Kevin Holland, the very talented. Mm. We like Kevin a lot. Yeah. And he came up a little short, but he was out there throwing, but he ended up losing. He came, he said, look, man, I took that fight on short notice. I had to jump on it, but I really didn't have a game plan. It was like a short notice type of thing. So this time he said he went in there more prepared. And I was so happy. You know what I really like? If you look on, I don't know where it was on Instagram, but you see Dana going to give him the thing. And he's sitting there. And he's like, oh, Dana, stop. I'm going to cry. It made me so happy. It was really a very nice, warm moment because you felt how happy this kid was. And good, that's him, the perfect example for someone who's coming into the game. We were talking about this earlier with guys who are not taking their first loss or a loss the right way, say O'Malley or Costa, the way he handled his loss, calling for a rematch right away, and now he's mad type of shit. You gotta listen. Best thing you do, Uriah, is take it out on the next guy. And now you got the mic. And now when you get the mic, it holds more weight when you're saying, let me get back at that guy. Corey Sanhagen did it the right way also.
What I'm more impressed about is his opponent. Did you see what he said about, hey, man, I'm honored to share the stage with you, and you got me. I'll be back, but congratulations. I mean, that couldn't have been any more classic.
Yeah. These younger guys, like, I can't get – because O'Malley, who I do like O'Malley. I like Sean O'Malley, and I think there should be hype. He's taking guys out, but he lost to Marlon Chito Vera, who's a real dude.
Oh, he's
straight
good,
up gangster.
He's not
a guy that he walks that fucking walk.
Yeah.
You talk that shit, he'll be like, all right. And he'll just
come on.
Exactly. Yeah, so how do you hit on a guy like that? It's not like you're losing to a fucking asshole. It's not like you're losing like fucking Frank Trigg or somebody. You know what I mean?
You know, he's on top. You know, Sean's on top and he wants to keep that spot. And it wasn't expected. It's like when I beat Gegard, him and his whole country couldn't, like, wait, that wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah. You know, so it happened. So you got to live with the shock, you know, let it bottle up inside you and mold you the way it's supposed to. Cheeto's a badass. People forget that. And everyone, again, has their own story. Sean O'Malley had his own story to get to where he did. Cheeto had to maybe work a little differently, probably a little harder to gain that success. And he took that away from him. So, yeah, he's pissed off about it.
I don't blame him, man. Like, I read some of these things the kid's saying, you know, O'Malley, and he's like, oh, it's been a great year. Three fights, three finishes. It's been a great year. He doesn't even, like, acknowledge the fight. It's so disrespectful. And it's not good. And listen, it's not good karma. I don't think it's good karma. Don't fuck. What are you doing?
Hey, when Ronda lost, didn't she leave the cage? Like, sometimes when people have so much invested in being undefeated and they lose, it fucks them up in a really weird way. And it just, yeah. You know, if it's harder to rebuild, I think, that whole, if you have 11 fights that you've won and you get to rebuild that invincibility after 11 fights, I think that's probably harder than somebody who loses their third fight.
It's a weird, bitter balance. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, like, you look at people that are undefeated, it's like, okay, I got to keep this momentum going. And when that shock happens, it's like, fuck, how do I recover? But they forget that life goes on. I was one of those guys. I was undefeated. And then when I lost and I lost and I lost and I lost again, it was like, fuck, should I be doing this? Of course you're going to question yourself. And I think when you go out there with that mindset, that small little error causes that opening for you to get catch again. But it's a learning process. I'm glad all these things happened to me. I mean, I look back at my story and I'm like, what if I didn't lose to Kelvin? What if this didn't happen? I can't take anything away from it. I'm exactly where I need to be. I feel like I'm with the best team in the world. I'm surrounded by great athletes and I'm still working for probably one of the best organizations. So just go with the flow.
You can't look at the, oh, if I only, especially in a game like this.
Yeah.
Like I bring it up sometimes because like it still stings. Because I was fresh off of Abu Dhabi. I had a good showing. I had my debut in a UFC versus Shoni Carter. I put on a clinic. I got caught with a back fist with like 10 seconds left. Longo, my coach, Longo, always knows how to say the right things.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, man, if you only didn't get hit with that back fist after Abu Dhabi, they would have built a fucking statue of you in Longo. I go, really, Longo? Thank you. You know I got fucking stopped. Yes. First time ever spinning back fist in the UFC. So listen, thank you, Longo. Yeah, that's a lesson for the coaches out there, what not to say.
Yeah.
Fucking ruined me.
But you know what? And I'm getting older, and like someone called me a veteran, I'm like, yo, easy champ. Don't put that funny, V word right? In there yet.
Feels weird, though.
No? Yeah, it feels weird. But you're thinking differently. You know, I'm not thinking I'm gonna kill you. I'm thinking, all right, how do I beat you up and not get hurt doing it? You know?
Yeah.
So you get older in the sport, man, that's constantly evolving. You gotta evolve with it or else you're done.
It's true, Jimmy.
You gotta evolve with it.
True words were never said.
Yeah. What did you think when Costa, after he said, you know, he signed the contract, like Matt, you were saying, I think a part of that was also just what Adesanya did to him after the fight, which was like that hump. I think when he saw that video, he just kind of, I think that was what he couldn't really handle.
I mean, if you're a bully talking all that smack, you got to be able to take the repercussion. What happened with all the shit you were saying? All of a sudden, now someone does it to you, it's a problem. Like, take it, bro. You were giving it, take it.
Yeah, that's right.
Fuck up and take
it. Fuck yeah. Uriah knows. He threw a white belt at him. He threw a white belt at him at the weigh-ins.
Yeah, like, come
on. At the Sarah,
like,
you threw a white belt.
Of course I'm going to hump you. I would have
humped you. So the guy gets a little fucking, oh.
I would have humped you with no lube. Like, get out of here.
You would have made it a real experience.
It would have been a morning deep penetration.
I'm with Team Izzy on that.
Yeah.
You can't be talking on. And then you act like a big badass. You're staring at the. You charge everybody.
Yeah. It's a mind game. Everybody. It's a mind game.
And now
it's
you're staring at him. He's staring at him. And now he saw the fight after. He saw him do that gesture. And now he's mad.
Now
what
he's
are you
mad.
Talking about?
Now he's mad. Okay, buddy. Okay. Props to Izzy, man. I mean,
yes.
I fought Acosta with no game plan. And because in my mind, I'm like, oh, let me go out there and figure it out. And, you know, I'm not going to make any excuses. And whether I was hurt or not, he got me. And GSP said it the best. There's no best fight in the world. You're the best fighter of that time, at that particular moment, at that night. And that shit happened. So how do I learn from it as an athlete to better myself? I look at my mistakes, round it up, get better. I would love to fight Costa again. I know I could beat his ass if I get the chance again because I feel a lot better. You know, I'm not letting the whole easy on steroids, fuck all that. They're going to need all that shit to beat me. Where I'm right now, probably don't want to fight me either.
I think that if I remember correctly, that first round, you had a great first round too. So you definitely
jabbing him to death. Yeah. I exposed him. But I know what Izzy's doing, man. Izzy's taking all the fights that he knows he can win. Notice how he's lining everybody up. Who's he want to fight now? Jared? Is it Jared?
Jared Cannonier is Jared fighting Cannonier. Whitaker, the winner of that.
Yep, I know why he took that Yoel fight. I see the opening, too. I see all that shit. I am so motivated to fight Izzy. I've been waiting for someone like this to bring some excitement because, I'm honest, I was bored. You know, it went to politics and just games and all this shit. But someone like that excites me because I know how to fight him. It's just playing the game, defeating this bullshit ranking system and just getting where I need to be.
Hey, man, taking out Anderson Silva, I'm saying just taking out Anderson Silva is a great step in that direction.
I'm taking out everybody.
I'll tell you right now, I don't know how many fights. It depends. Again, a lot of times it's on your last performance. So hopefully everything goes fucking phenomenal for you. Because I would really, not just because I'm friends with you, I think you and Izzy, that just looks like a fucking video game to me. That looks like something that I want to be there live for. And I don't ask Dana for a lot, but I'll cash in on that one. Like, yo, come on, Dana.
Please
need somebody extra security on that one. Get
Please
me in that building.
Ask him.
That would be beautiful.
Well, good luck against Anderson, man. This is a huge fight. I'm really happy for you. I'm happy that this is finally happening. It's almost 4 years, I guess, in the making. But I'm really happy for you. And you've had a couple of big fights drop out by no fault of your own. So, obviously, you know we're pulling for you.
Hopefully he shows up, man. It's on Halloween, too. Hopefully we can do, like, stare downs with, like, costumes and stuff like that.
Something,
I'm so down for that.
Hey, and if you got time to kill, I'm going to do a movie minute later, but I watched that new Adam Sandler Hoobie Halloween. You could do worse than watch that. That was fun.
What movie?
Hoobie Halloween.
Hoobie Halloween.
Hoobie or Hoobie? What's his name? It's a new Adam Sandler movie on Netflix. It's a fun movie.
Hoobie, is it a family flick? I have a wife.
Well, do you like, you know what it is with Adam Sandler? He has the type of stuff that you could watch, even that the kids could watch, but he's fucking funny. He's always yelling
Did you
shit.
See the
it's
one
It's like
with
a typical
him
Adam Sandler movie, but not Jack and Jill one and shit.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm wrong. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, that was horrible. Oh, Al Pacino's God. In there yelling about
fucking play the death of the sister, it.
And he looks terrible as a woman. Next topic. But
yes.
Did you see the one with him with the
Jimmy liked it. Jimmy liked it, but that's the only thing Jimmy liked about it. Jimmy would argue with you about
Adam Sandler. I think he did the thing where he was selling diamonds. He found a diamond in Africa.
That was the name of that movie. Uncut Gems.
Was he being a serious?
Uncut Gems. Yeah. Oh no, you got to watch it, man.
I don't want him being serious.
It was a drama. It was very good.
But I like when he's like, "Bagadoo," and my kind of shit. Those are stupid words. I like that. But I'm a simple man. I don't want to see him fucking looking to get a fucking Emmy or something. I want him being stupid. That's what I want. All right, let's go. You're right, man. All best. You know we're with you. Know we love you.
I love you guys.
Come on,
man.
Take out this legend.
We'll talk about the fight. Good luck, man. Have a good fight.
Thanks, guys.
Take care,
buddy.
All right,
pal. Take care. Life can be a battle. Whoever you are, we're all fighting for something. O2 Industries is here to protect fighters like you. That's why they created TR2, the ultimate military-grade respirator. It battles airborne particles so you can fight for honor, not for air. Developed with Tier 1 operators, this respirator is eyewear compatible and fits a wide range of facial profiles. It's even approved by elite fighters like George St. Pierre. TR2 launches on October 20th, available for fighters like you. Check out its bold design and pre-order yours at protectthefighter.com. O2 Industries, proud to fight with the UFC. This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by P3, the official protein snack of the UFC. P3 portable protein packs are a savory and crunchy combination of three dynamic sources of protein from meat, cheese, and nuts. Each P3 pack contains up to 13 grams of protein, and they come in great tasting combinations like turkey, almond, and Colby Jack. P3, three dynamic ways to fuel your day with protein packed meat, cheese, and nuts, because three is better than one.
Oh shit! Yes. What up, Jason Brillo?
What's up, fellas?
Looks like are you working a corner as we speak? What are you doing? What are you looking at?
I'm just grabbing some coffee here.
Oh, hey, listen, I salute. Raise up your coffee cup.
Oh Jesus!
I'm gonna say, you're in a
fight,
Jason.
This is very important.
Jason, hold on. Show me that cup again, really quick. Is that it? Okay, it's a tall cup. I thought it was an espresso cup.
Well, you know, they spoil us over at Ruka with proper coffee. How you doing, bud?
It looks good. Where are you now, Jay?
I'm at Ruka. This is a Ruka facility. I'm at the Ruka. You know what Ruka is? RBCA. That's where my gym is. You know, so here's the headquarters at Ruka. You got all this art and shit.
Is it located?
This is in Costa Mesa, California. You know who Cartoon is?
Who is that?
He's a well-known tattoo artist.
And he did a clown with wings, like an angel clown.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's Jay, has the coronavirus and all this bullshit affect business over there?
Yeah, it has. You know, it's affected it. It affects. Here's my gym here.
Oh, look, this is nice, man.
That's not bad, huh?
It's really, and I like that it's very spacious, like a big warehouse.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. It's a private gym. I mean, it's a private gym as well, so it's not like you don't need that much space. We got a lot of space, though.
You're so fancy.
I know. I'm spoiled.
Are you guys allowed to be open now? Or is it just, you said business is suffering, is because they're making you stay closed, or people just scared to come train?
Well, yeah. Well, again, with the private gym, I'm only training fighters right now. You know, so fortunately I've had a few fights since this pandemic. I've had Chito Vera fight a couple times and yes. Mackenzie Dern. But so there's been a little bit of money. But yeah, but the whole warehouse, everything is just real slow around here. Everybody's just cautious the way they're running their businesses. You know, just like everywhere, I think. Obviously all the restaurants got everybody in the streets and stuff. But like here particularly, there's a lot of the employees for the Ruka staff at the Ruka headquarters back where I was just at. They all are allowed to work at home. So you got a choice. They got a choice whether they want to come into the office or if they want to do it from home. So, but yeah, of course, I think everybody's affected by this whole thing.
You're doing those fucking Zoom classes?
No, I was thinking about doing it though. I really was thinking about doing it. I mean,
it's different, Jay, with the striking. I think it's got to be easier than the fucking jiu-jitsu with that.
Oh, for sure. 100%. I think I actually could do fairly well at that. That's something that I think that I could, you know, I just filmed a thing for that dynamic striking thing. I don't know if you see BJJ Fanatics? You know BJJ Fanatics?
Yes, yes. They're very popular with the jiu-jitsu videos and whatnot.
Right. Well, they're also doing striking videos well. Ooh. So they've been hitting a lot of guys. I know, I think there's been a handful of guys that have done them, but,
So you're doing an instructional, Jay? What is it?
I just did one with them, yeah.
Oh.
I did one. I think they could do multiple ones. I did a really, really, really basic one. Just pretty much how to stand up. That's you good. Know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you got to start somewhere. You know, I see a lot of people on there doing a lot of instructionals, but you're kind of all over the board. You know, I guess if you're looking to learn how to do a flying knee, that's, you know, you can buy the flying knee one, but sometimes... Yeah. Some people don't even know how to stand up, right?
A flying knee is probably less likely to help you, like on the subway. You know, probably standing properly and throwing a punch is what you're more likely to need than throwing a flying knee. So you're training non-fighters or fighters with this video?
I'm hoping they market it to the non-fighters.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, not many fighters are going out and buying videos. I mean, maybe they are. And if they are, they got some issues. I don't know how long their career is going to be if they're going to go watch videos.
But it's great though, man. It's great that you're like guys that you train the top of the top, you know, the cream of the crop, the guys that are the best fighters on the planet, the people that you work with, how many champions you've had in the past, whether it's BJ Penn, Michael Bisping, shit. And now your average Eds or your, you know, like guys like Jimmy could get the fundamentals from a fucking.
No, that's exactly right. And you know, as well as, you know, if people are intimidated to walk into a boxing gym or a jiu-jitsu academy or anything, you know what I mean? It's like, but they want to learn, you know, some guys don't want to, you know, some people don't want to put themselves out there. They're introverted, you know, they don't have the personality to go out and they don't want to mingle or socialize with other people and be around it. But at home, if they can get on the internet and just kind of sit in their garage and kind of work some basic fundamentals, so God bless, you know?
And it's funny. I noticed this too, just from the little bit of training I did with Jimmy Rivera, is that nobody in a gym like that is a dick to the new guy. Like everybody kind of understands what it's like to start. So it's different than being 100%. In a regular gym. Like when you go to a regular gym and you feel like there's guys just lifting weights, but when it comes to fighting, it seems like those guys really have no problem with a guy who's like day one. You never heard this from those guys.
Well, because everybody's had day one. Everybody's been, you know, had that nervous day one. You know, I mean, some of us did it when we were little kids, so we don't really remember them, I guess. But at the end of the day, you know, yeah, sure. You're right, though. People aren't dicks to the new guy. They really are. But it doesn't mean a guy's still going to muster up the courage to walk into a gym. Right. You know, so and some guys just never going to do it. But it doesn't mean they don't still want to learn how to sit at home and learn how to throw a punch.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Jimmy, for people that don't know, they see Jason in the corner and whatnot. I think it's not always, but a lot of the times, I think it really benefits to have a guy that was actually in there himself that knows what it's like when you're tired and you got to roll with punches and get through going to the next round when you're exhausted and you're cut. And Jason's been in there. Jason was a professional boxer. Jay, and then did you have an eye injury? Refresh our memory.
Yeah, I have nerve damage in my left eye. It'll float on you maybe, but I got double vision in my left eye. So I'm good right here, but if I tilt up right here, I got two of you here. I got the phone here and the phone right here. So.
And what is that from? Was that from fighting, or did you hurt it outside? You did.
Yeah. Well, it started off. It happened. It was accumulation of punches and damages, but it started off. It happened in sparring, actually. I was sparring with Fernando Vargas many years. I don't know if you guys remember Fernando Vargas.
But yes.
He was a boxer years ago, and I got a little bit of eye damage sparring with him. But then I was down in L.A. and I was sparring a middleweight, and he hit me with a right hand, and I mean, it detached my retina. I mean, like immediately, I went completely double vision in my left eye, and then
was it painful or just
a little painful? I mean, yeah, a little bit, but it's still affects me today. I mean, every day I do, when I shave, when I eat, when I got the worst is changing lanes. You know, when I got changed lanes. You know what I mean? Because I got to completely look over my shoulder, like look directly back, because otherwise I'm fucked. But anyways, neither here nor there. I that's why I stopped boxing. And I never really talked about my eye, because I was going to actually, because I probably could have, I mean, I could have probably got a license and still box, you know, but the doctor and the surgeon that fixed the eye said, you know, there's a great chance of me going completely double vision if I continue to do it, you know. And then I ended up, but I still was going to, I tried out for the TV show, The Contender, years ago. You see my hand here. I only got half. You know, I don't got full mobility in this left hand. I got nerve damage all through my arm.
How'd that happen?
I had about four or five bouncers do a tap dance on me in a nightclub out here.
Did you start it or did they? Was it one of those?
I didn't start. I mean, this is such a long fucking story. I would tell you guys, but I mean, we'd be here for fucking 20 minutes just talking about the story alone. But no, I didn't. I did have some problems with some guys. You know, this is many years. I was in my 20s. This is many years ago. Yeah, I was a kid. And so anyways, they got the best of me. I got nice and beat up. Ended up in a huge lawsuit over it as well. But I got a little bit of money, but you never really get any money out of those situations. The lawyers get a lot of money and you end up spending everything you get anyways.
And also when you hurt your eye, when your eye was damaged, did you know at that moment, like, I think my fighting career is over? Or did you hold out hope for a little while? Or what was the moment you realized? Like,
I fought with it, but it definitely takes a lot of your confidence away. And you know, and when I was so fucked, I was up and down when I was fighting anyways, but I knew that it. Boxing is just, I mean, it's just such a, you're in such close quarters and the skill level of these guys are so high. You know what I mean? Any deficiencies go to come into fucking play. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's tough to make it in boxing as a white guy as it is, you know what I mean? The low is one eye.
Now, do you feel like your dream at the time, like, oh, my dreams are just derailed, or do you go, let me hold some pads, see how this works? I mean, I know you probably wanted to stay in the business.
Well, I was always holding pads. Like, when I was fighting, I assisted my coach, and I was Johnny Tapia's mitt man for his fifth world title at Madison Square Garden. You know, Francois Botha. I've worked the corner of some boxing world champions when I was boxing myself, but I was always good on the mitt. I was always all the guys liked the way I held the mitts. You know what I mean? So it kind of worked out that way, you know, so I was able to pay my bills, training people, but also fighting. But I don't really recommend that to people and to fighters, to be honest.
Hi, was it a fly?
No, I did. The light went out. It's not a sensor. But I don't recommend that, though, because I'll be honest with you. It burns you. I mean, your ego as a fighter should be all about you and try to make you the best fighter you can be. Your ego as a coach should be trying to make them not your. It's not about you being a fighter. It's about making them the best fighter you can make them, right? It's kind of a catch-22. I don't know. For me, when I look back at it, wasn't the best thing to do is training people and fighting at the same time. I don't know why, because I think for some reason I put more energy into the guys that I was helping out as opposed to putting the energy into myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, dude, you're putting your energy in the right places now, because look at you lately, man. I was there, and I want to get into that. We were hanging out with Chito Vera when you were when he had the fight. Do you remember hanging out with me that night? Yes or no?
No, of course I do. We had a great time.
We did have a – listen, we might have been on quarantine and not going out, but myself and Jason Perullo had a blast.
We had a great time.
We made it a good time. We caught up because, Jimmy, the first time I hung out with Jason and how I got close with him, we were in Australia, right?
Yeah.
We were in Australia.
That's exactly right.
Yes. I was there with Raging Al. You were there with Bisping.
Yep.
And we were hanging out outside and I don't know, somehow we grabbed some reefer and we started connecting. We connected. Well, you're on the streets of Australia.
Reefer tends to connect a lot of people, especially in this room.
Hey, really listen to me. I guarantee you don't remember this. Now you might. So last time, Jimmy, we were hanging out in Vegas and he was with Marlon Chito Vera.
Yes.
And he was fighting Sean O'Malley, which was a huge fight because there's a huge hype train behind O'Malley.
Sean was undefeated.
I was hanging out the day before with Jason. We were hanging out right outside the doors a little bit. Then we went into the room, and then Chito came in, Chito Vera. And we're bullshitting. And then Jason made cookies, right? Actually, you didn't tell us you could bake.
I made food all week, man. I cook every night of my life, man. I'm going to be a chef in my 50s. That's my goal.
Did you hear that? He's going to be a chef, Jimmy. You're learning to fight with the great Jimmy Rivera in your 50s, and he's going to be learning to be a chef. All right.
That's it.
I wanted to point that out for the audience.
I would rather already know how to fight and be learning to cook. I would rather be doing that than learning to fight when I'm 52. I would much rather be with Jimmy.
That's a fair point. But, Jimmy, so we were hanging out, and we were feeling good. We were relaxing, you know what I mean? Maybe had a little buzz on, bullshitting. So right in front of Marlon Vera, who, first of all, I feel like I got to know him a little bit that night. And there's things I picked up from his energy, his aura. He's a very secure dude. He's a real dude. And the night before that fight, him and Jason were right here. They were in sync about what they were going to look to accomplish the next day. I think that's fair to say, Jason. Even in your drunken, stoned haze, I could tell that you. So then Jason, and he's funny, so he's breaking my balls. He goes, I don't know how he got into it. He goes, oh, wait, so who did you pick to win the fight? Now, he asked me, I don't know if you remember this, Jay.
Yeah, I do.
Because before the fight, I had O'Malley.
Of course.
Hey, listen, I'll eat some shit. I don't give a fuck. I love Chito. Cheetah, Vera. I mean, I thought, but before the fight, you know, hey, I don't know. Listen, what am I, an expert? But listen, so Jimmy, so he made it so awkward. And somehow I kind of like, I don't know if you remember, Jason, any of this. But I say, might not. Because he was asking me that, and then he handed me a cookie.
I'm a professional
drinker. So then, yes. So Jay, I was trying to like, I couldn't lie to you. You could just go listen to the episode. So I was like, you know what's great? In this sport, when you get to prove people wrong, I kind of went that route and kind of asked for another cookie, and we got out of this. I changed the subject.
Well, that's why you do this, what you're doing now. You got the gift of gab. You know how to fucking talk your way around the fucking room.
Oh, shit, man.
But listen, it is awkward, though, when you, because there's only two guys fighting, and like picking O'Malley wasn't crazy because he was undefeated. But then when you got to talk to the guy who's fighting, it's like, oh, you feel like I'm not picking against you. I just thought the other guy would do well. It's embarrassing. I do
people
too.
People will call, hey, who do you got? Okay, tell us, who do you have? You're going to run into all these guys.
I'm with you.
You know what I mean? It's like, And I mean, it's not that what you, it's not like you're going to go fight these guys because you picked against them, but still, it's like, I mean, everybody's got feelings now, don't they? You know what I mean? Who wants to run around hurting people's feelings?
Hey, man, listen, yeah. I'm with you. And when I used to fight, and again, like we talk about us in our 20s compared to now, I was a bit of a hothead. And I was like, when people would pick against me, I would kind of take it personal.
Oh, you'd want to fight them probably there when you saw
them. I would just see them and they'd say, what's up? I'd be like, oh, yeah, what's up, man? I'm going to get my ass kicked? Okay, get the fuck out of here. I would not even want to talk to the guy. That's how I'd be. I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. You want fucking Ivan Medjelon to fucking put me to sleep? Go fuck yourself. I'd get pissed off, you know? But, you know, I'm mature, Jimmy.
There's footage of Ali when he was there. It was a press conference for the Foreman fight. And even fight writers back then, boxing writers, didn't want to admit, because Ali said, who's got George? He started asking the fighter, the writers who had George. And he's like, come on, be men, admit it. And then a few of them finally put their hand. But even back then, nobody wanted to admit if they picked against you because it's awkward. It's just, it's awkward when you pick against a guy and then you have to talk to him.
Sure is. Sure is. Especially if you picked against them and they end up winning as well. Then the conversation's a little cleaner on that part, though, because the guy's happy that he fucking won, so he doesn't give a shit what you said, right?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey, let me ask you, how do you like, I like O'Malley too. I think he's a nice kid, but I'm not liking how he's handling this loss. It reminds me a little, not totally, but a little almost of, what's his name? The one who just lost, Costa, the one who just lost to,
All right.
It's almost like it's one thing if your ego is like, look, I was undefeated and I have to have that undefeated mindset. But you can't be delusional. You cannot. You have to give credit where credit is due.
You have
Cheeto
to.
Cheeto wasn't talking this shit before the fight. And
no.
And it's not like you lost to a guy that's going to be a bad winner. The guy's just a real fucking dude. Like a hardworking guy. Came over from another country. He's got his family. It's not like you're losing to some fucking idiot. So for you,
no, he's
not
a real deal.
I know that. So for him, for O'Malley, just to kind of be like, look at him, like just to shit on him in a win. I think that has to do with age. And I think that has to do with the people around him have to go, listen, man, just grab him by the ear and be like, look, man, you know what the best thing to do?
Right now is the time to be humble, buddy.
Exactly. And then your next fight, look, the perfect guy, Corey Sandhagen. Look at him. Yeah. Look what he just accomplished over the weekend with Marlon Vera. And look what happened to him with Aljo. And he did not talk shit afterwards. He waited until his time, and he's patiently waiting. It had to kill him what happened with Aljo. Had to kill him. But he patiently waited, and he trained. And he went in there with a killer, Marlon Moraes. And look what he did. Look at what he did. It's like, it's so great. And that's a perfect example for the younger guys to be like, all right, look, you don't have your night. Don't make a fool of yourself, man. Bite your fucking tongue as much as you can. Get back in there. Make an example of the next guy.
You're exactly right. Well, some people think they can beat bullshit the whole world. Now, don't they? They think that they're fine. And they're bullshit. I mean, it's unfortunate. Like, I did see an interview where the kid was saying, you know, I still consider myself 12-0. I still consider myself undefeated or whatever the kid was saying because I don't accept that as a loss. It's just – it's mind-blowing, actually, and you're exactly right. It's who's around you. That's a huge thing. You know, it's like Rocky Balboa said, right? You hang out with yo-yo people, you're a fucking yo-yo, right?
Yeah, that's coming from a guy, Paul. That's coming from a guy whose best friend's fucking Paulie. What is Rocky talking about? Rocky's hanging out with that jealous drunk that lost all his money. I know he's banging his sister, but fuck, Rocky.
Yeah, but he was banging his sister.
He was.
He was stuck with Paulie. He didn't choose Paulie. He was stuck with him. I mean, after the turkey went out the window, you think you wouldn't hang out with him again. But yeah, when you're fucking someone's sister, you got to kind of put up with their shenanigans. But do you think it is too, like, I'm fascinated with guys who lose their first fight. I always think it's much easier to get a loss out of the way. Because some people, part of them being a fighter seems to be their definition of themselves as undefeated or invincible. And then once they lose and that is shattered, it's really hard for them to see themselves as winning again. And some guys go on streaks that they don't recover from. So I think it's almost advantageous to lose earlier and get it out of the way.
I agree with you. You get it right out of the fucking way. That's what you always say to the guy. It's almost a blessing in disguise. You know, you get that all out of the way. You get that mystique out of the way. You get all that bullshit out of the way. And now you can get grinding on what you got to do, you know. But, and like you were saying, Jim, I mean, it just depends on how you handle it, you know. But by the way, some of these guys are handling their first loss is like, well, this is not good. I don't know if this is going to work out for you in the long run because you can't handle it. You're having a hard time with this.
You got that guy Costa saying, hey, sign the contract. He's mad now. What the fuck are you talking about? You were just sitting there staring at him. It wasn't a competitive fight.
No.
Izzy just totally did what he wanted with him. And now you're barking saying to sign the contract? What the f- dude? Somebody grab that guy, fucking throw some acai in his face, wake him up.
I think because it was the humping.
I don't know what the fuck is he thinking.
Matt, I think the humping. I think the humping is what got him. I think that's
what got him.
He felt like he lost. And he probably felt like, wow, he humiliated me in a man way after the, that's probably why he's so, he doesn't know what else to handle it.
He threw a white belt in his face the day before. What do you want? What do you want? You threw a white belt in his face. What the fuck do you want? You're on all fours. You're down there.
Yeah.
I'm glad GSP didn't do that to me when I was on all fours.
It'll be embarrassing.
You know, that wouldn't have been good.
Hey, but who knocked out GSP? Who knocked out GSP?
Yes! Sorry, the espresso kicked in once you said that. Oh, man.
I remind Matt of that every time I see him.
He does, actually. He brings that up a lot. And that makes me so happy. And then I'm like, thank you. Pass that shit. Anyway, but Jay, listen, man. You're in a fucking tear. Mackenzie Dern, holy shit, dude. That arm lock. I love watching her.
She's special, man, with that.
So much.
Huh? Yeah, I know you do. She's special with that jujitsu, man.
And she's not scared standing up though. She doesn't look like a scared jujitsu fighter. She's throwing.
She's a good at. Listen, she's gonna be in here about 20 minutes, but she is a fucking workhorse, and she's a talented girl, man. And she can. I mean, she can fight. She can't fight right now. She's got the mechanics of it. You know what I mean? She's got the understanding and she's really a student of it. You know what I mean? She's really passionate about learning how to stand up and duke it out a little bit. That's not where we're going to make her go to. You know what I mean? We're going to obviously everything's going to always focus on getting her into her strong point. And that's the jiu-jitsu game. But she really's got some, I mean, you know, I think over the next couple fights, I think her hands are going to come to surface. You know, some people are going to see some people are going to be shocked the way she's throwing punches. It's kind of tough. Like this last fight, you see how she kind of bum rushed in there. She was so excited, she wanted to go in there and throw some bombs. She fucking fell on her ass. You know what I mean? But that's inexperience now, isn't it?
She was also someone. I think she was 7-0, and then she lost, and then she comes back with two, I think, first round finishes. Like she handled the loss really well. Like, you know what I mean? She was undefeated, she loses, and then she comes back with two first round finishes. And whatever it was that helped her, you think other people would do the same thing? How did she survive that and come back so strong?
She's got a. You know, I asked her. I said, "How many competitions, jiu-jitsu competitions, that you competed in?" And she said, God, I mean, about 1,000 probably. It's right there, Jim. That's how she's been competing since she was a little girl.
Right.
I mean, she grappled against Gabby Garcia. I don't know if you guys know who Gabby Garcia is, but Gabby Garcia is 250 pounds.
Jason, when you're watching the sparring, are you strictly having, because I know sometimes we have to break it up like we do with us. Like, all right, now it's just going to be boxing, just going to be kickboxing. All right, now we're going to do the fight, feet the floor. Are you coaching just the striking, or are you coaching when he hits the floor?
When he hits the floor, I'll bet. And if we got their grappling guy in the gym or whatever, I always kind of let them kind of take that. Let them. I've been doing it long enough to where I kind of know. It's not like it's. I get to know my athlete, so I know where he or she likes to go and what she likes to do, or he likes it. You know what I mean? So as I get to know my athlete, I can still talk to him wherever they're at in the cage. You know what I mean? But now if we got their jiu-jitsu coach in the gym with us, or we're in the corner of the fight and you're in a position where they're fighting for position on the ground, you know, I'll always let the grappling guy, you know, come into play. But it does help when I, like with Michael Bisping, I was always the only voice really in the corner because I knew him so well. I was pretty much the only one there when he was sparring, and sparring was obviously a humongous part of our training, but I just knew Mike. And with Mike, we hardly ever went to the ground. You know what I mean? He had great takedown defense. You know, besides like someone like Tim Kennedy or something that, you know, laid and preyed on him. But yes, I could talk to the guy through the MMA sparring. It does help when I get to know him a lot better.
And how do these athletes, these fighters get to work with you? Are they reaching specifically out for you? Because I know you were tight with BJ. You knew BJ, I believe, beforehand.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's how you kind of was cool with him.
And Pat, the founder of RBCA, where I'm at, this whole headquarters, the founder of this place, always sponsored BJ. He sponsored BJ, Vitor Belfort, guys that were good jiu-jitsu guys that did MMA. He was, because he's always been he's a black belt. He's been, you know, he loves jiu-jitsu as well. That's how my connection with BJ. And then since then, they've reached out to me. Bisbee's reached out to me, you know, RDA, you know, Cyborg, Tito. Tito I've known since we were kids, since we were fucking young. You know, since before Tito even fought, I'd known Tito. But
you're from Huntington Beach, no?
He's in Huntington Beach, yeah.
No,
he's
where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the city of Orange, actually. I spend most of my time down here in Costa Mesa, Newport Beach. But I'm in the neighbor city. His city's one city over. Huntington's one city over from where I'm at. I'm in Newport for the most part. I was born in New York, though. I'm from New York. I moved out when I was like 6, 7. I moved out to Orange County.
Why'd you move? Family's your father work, or?
My father, yeah. My father got a job out here with Beckman Instruments or whatever he got. He got a job out here when I was a kid. And I would go back. I would spend the summers until I was about 13 in New York, but it was upstate New York, so I wasn't down in the city. I was upstate. But
Mackenzie Dern,
Mackenzie Dern reached out to me. She actually reached out to BJ and reached out to Pat. Pat, the founder of Ruka, called me up and said, "Hey, you know, a friend of mine had, you know, Mackenzie Dern called me up and asked if you'd be willing to train her or whatever." And awesome. I said, "Yeah, you know, I didn't." There's BJ calling me right now.
Oh. You make sure you tell him I said hello after.
I will.
You know?
But, I will definitely tell him you said hello. I definitely, he loves you, Matt.
Yeah, I miss BJ.
But, yeah, she reached out to me. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't looking forward to, I don't know how to say this. So I'll say, people say.
Taking on someone new?
Taking on someone. Well, also, you know, girls tend to be a little bit more emotional. Guys are emotional. As fighters, guys are emotional. When you take on a guy, see, when I go take on, I feel like you're starting a relationship. I don't just like, see, that's the thing, is not having a public gym. It's not like I have classes, so I'm generating money through classes. So the more the merrier, everybody can come and throw enough shit up against the wall, hopefully something sticks. You know, when I start developing a relationship, I'm looking at this could be a 10-year relationship. You know, Bisping out 10 years, Tito, all these guys.
Yeah.
BJ, I'm still. BJ's not fighting, but I do feel like I'm coaching him sometimes. You know, we talk all the time.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, I want to have a connection with the athlete. I want to know that our personalities really click. I think that'll get more out of them. I think they'll get more out of me. You know, I just think that it just makes it a better relationship, you know.
Any people you turn away? Did you ever say, you know what? You don't have to name names. Did you ever start working with a guy and go, you know what? You might be going places, but this ain't gonna work. You ever had that kind of attitude, or?
Yes, all the time. But I don't even say it. I just let it organically happen. Now, see, it either organically comes together or organically fucking
drifts apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you,
and that's how I like to make it, because I don't want any. It's such a subculture world. God, he doesn't stop. Come on, BJ, give me a minute, buddy. Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? It's just easier that way. That I don't, because it's like if I end up not working, I just let it naturally fucking walk away.
Yeah.
We're gonna run into each other again and just, you know,
it's all good.
Shake hands, hug. Hey, all right, good to see you. Right on. It's nothing personal. Some people come trade with me, and I can tell they're like, you know what? I'm not really vibing with that guy, and I'm gonna go look for something else. I don't take it personal. God bless you.
That's what the way.
Yeah, what will make you feel that way about a fighter? Like, what is something? Is it a certain personality type, or is it a guy that? Because they're all the guys are pretty, I'm sure, motivated. What is it that will tell you this is probably not going to work?
It's mostly personality, I think. It really is. It's mostly personality, and I can tell by a personality sometimes whether they're even going to. I mean, the skill set, especially when you get to this level, you know, all the skill sets are pretty close. You know what I mean? So guys are, you know, obviously you're trying to develop the best, you know, skill set you can, but I don't know. Some guys, you get just their personalities and their sense of intelligence as well. Because like for me, the way guys talk, sometimes you can tell how far they're going to make it, you know, yeah. Or even if they want to make it, you know what I mean? Like you get a kid like Chito Vera, you know, this kid wants to fucking make it.
Oh,
you know,
shit,
and this is a kid,
man,
that moved out from fucking Ecuador. He's got three kids. He's still in his fucking 20s with three fucking kids. You
so
know what
mature,
I mean?
No? Jason, how much? He's so mature for his age, don't you think?
100%. But that's why I say, but I think that's an intelligent thing too. And I listen to him. I listen to the way he talks. I listen to the way he studies this sport. I see his attitude and how he takes on everything he's doing. I can tell this is a kid that's got all the ability in the world to be a champion. And that's a guy that I want to work with. You know, because I like him too. I like his personality. I can go have a beer with him. You know what I mean? I want to be able to go have a beer with my fucking fighter. You know what I mean? Or if he doesn't drink, that's fine. I want to at least be able to fucking sit down and have lunch and not be fucking dying to get out of there. You know what I mean? I don't want that relationship. You know, I don't want that relationship with anybody. I'm too fucking old for that shit.
Yeah, you know, he's a pleasure.
And,
that
the
guy.
And the money's not worth it. It's not like fucking coaches are fucking driving Ferraris around here. You know, maybe they are if they're running their business. You know, if I was smart and was a businessman, I would be in a fucking public gym pumping out fucking memberships all fucking day long. Fucking, you know, but I've dedicated myself to fucking. To the fighters.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you might be taking the better route with the no gyms. You'd be pumping out a lot of anything right now.
Right.
So, well, yeah, that's true. You know.
What do you think of, you got Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. fighting, and I know a guy's at that age, but what do you think of that? Is it interesting to you, or is it something that you feel is, that you don't care about? What do you think is the,
yeah, you know, I don't direction? Think about it much. As a matter of fact, you saying it right now, I forgot all about it. To be time, obviously I hear about it. You see it all the time.
Yeah.
And I forgot about just, and those were two fighters that I would love to see. I mean, fuck, I love watching Roy Jones. I love my, obviously everybody loves Mike Tyson, you know, when, you know, back in the 90s, 80s and 90s, but I don't know. You know, you're looking at two guys that are not shells of themselves, but just definitely not the same dude. You see Tyson hitting those hand pads and he looks like a, you know, he looks ferocious. And you see, I've watched some of Roy Jones's, hand pad work as well. I mean, he looks good. They look good. They're great. They're tremendous athletes. They're world champions. Both of them are world champions. It's just, it doesn't hit very, I mean, they're 50s. I don't know how interesting it's going to be. I'll watch it. It's not like I won't watch it. You know, how could I not?
Yeah. Right.
You know, but I don't know. I don't know what to think. God bless them. I hope they fucking make a bunch of money, and I hope they get out without hurting each other. You know what I mean? And they make some dough. That's that. God bless them. Those guys are killers in the sport. They're fucking legends, you know. I hope the best for them.
Well, you're making legends, my friend.
Yeah,
you are. You're such a great trainer, dude. Always love seeing you when I see you. Hopefully, we'll meet up again soon, brother. Or else after your
I hope so.
Your next guy or girl fights, get back on here and bullshit with us again, Jay.
100%. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Right, always good talking to you, man. Take care.
All right, cheers, guys.
All right, Jimmy.
Yes.
Love you, buddy. What a fun time.
That was a great show. And I'm sorry I had to run out and pee. For anyone, we just took a break. I almost wet my pants.
That would have ended greatly if you did.
But, yeah.
All right,
congrats,
brother.
On the background. The background, I'm very happy. You get the background.
Oh, yeah, listen to me. I like this already. I do.
Thank you to your wife more than you, to your wife, because she's actually the one that made that happen. She hooked it up.
She wasn't here. I couldn't even get on the Zoom. You realize that, Jimmy? All right, Jimmy. Listen, man, I'll bullshit with you in a couple days.
All right, buddy. I'll see you soon, Matt.
My man. Bye.
Later, brother. Bye.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.